us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. You remember some months ago I preached this message, Salvation is Not Enough. Remember that? And I tried to point out that after salvation, there comes the opportunity to develop a life that honors the Lord. A lot of people say, well, I'm saved, I know I profess Christ in Christ, and I know I'm going to heaven when I die, so I want to do what I want to do. I don't feel like I have to be in church to worship the Lord. I don't have to tithe. God understands my financial problem. And so these people live a life that gives no honor to the Lord at all because they think salvation is enough. Well, Reuben Ewart points this out. He says, quote, we are not saved just to go to heaven. We are expected to glorify the Lord and honor His holy name. End of quote. So here's the principle. If we apply this verse, then active submission is making somebody else a success. And we should bring glory to somebody else. We should honor somebody else's name by active submission. And this principle will apply in the home, it'll apply on your job, it'll apply to sports teams, it will apply in churches. I remember years ago when Johnny Bench was considered probably one of the greatest catchers to ever catch Major League Baseball. Johnny Bench once made a statement on public news. He said, I do my best to make the team a success. I remember when he got old enough to where he couldn't get down behind the plate anymore. And so he came to Sparky Anderson and told Sparky Anderson to take him out. He said, I can no longer perform in a way to make you as a manager and the Cincinnati Reds of the team successful. And Sparky Anderson said, you can still hit the ball, so I'm going to move you to first base. So he moved him to first base and took the first baseman and put him somewhere else. But he wanted to make somebody else a success. What if a child came up to his parent and said, Dad, Mom, how can I make you a success? First of all, it probably stunned the parent, right? Particularly in this day. What if the wife came to her husband and said, Honey, how can I make you a success? Have you ever read Proverbs 31? I think that woman probably did that with her husband. Everything she did was designed to make him prominent in the gate. In other words, he was a political leader. The other day I called Mrs. Solomon, Frieda. I said, Frieda, this is Pastor Goodell. You remember me? She said, oh yeah. She said, I remember you. She said, I still remember how you honored me and how you honored Jerry. And I said, I just want to call you and thank you for the sacrifices that you made so Jerry could be in Washington to stand up for the Constitution. She said, Pastor, she said, that means an awful lot to me. But she made him a success. The employee, suppose the employee came in and said, Boss, what can I do today to make you a success? We ought to ask the Lord, as Isaiah did. Remember what Isaiah asked? He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? So what if church members came to the pastor and said, Pastor, how can I make you a success? Well, the question is, why do most people not practice active submission? Why do they not do it? Well, it dramatically increases one's responsibility level, for one thing. As soon as you say, what can I do to make you a success, you've opened the door for just about anything. And then the second thing, it surrenders your rights of decision making to somebody else. Most people are very insecure with that type of relationship. So active submission gives another person the right to direct you with the expectation that you will obey. I am so grateful to work for two people that I work. Some of the people I work for wouldn't bother me one way or the other if I never saw them. But I got two people I work for I really appreciate. And one of them's having a pretty difficult time getting people to cover certain things. So I texted him the other day and I said, Doug, what can I do to make E5 a success? He texted me back. He said, you already do a lot. And I said, what else could I do? He said, well, I'm going to need somebody to drive. Oh, I'm already driving Indian Lake. He said, I'm going to need somebody to drive up to North Warren and work up at North Warren. I said, okay, put me down as one that's available to do that. So when I've worked for other pastors, one thing I've always tried to do is make them successful. If they asked me to run the bus route, I ran the bus route. If they asked me to mop the floors, I mopped the floors. If they asked me to clean the urinals, I cleaned the urinals. If they asked me to wash the windows, I washed the windows. The question is, when you work with a secular employer and you seek to make him successful, you open the door for witness. I remember one day working in the exit shop at the Great Escape, and Charlie Wood was a penny pincher. You know that, right? That's why he had so many pennies. He was a penny pincher. Well, he had this rule, and wouldn't you call it a rule? It was a preference. He had this preference that he wanted everybody to punch in 10 minutes before the hour, because then he didn't have to pay you for the previous 15 minutes. He only had to start you at the next. So if he wanted me to punch in at 10 minutes to 9, if I was supposed to open the doors at 10 minutes to 9. And so he came in one morning, and it was 7:30. And I'm in there sweeping the floor, mopping the floor, dusting the shelves, and he starts ranting and raving and cursing and accusing me of robbing him and stealing from him. And I said, hold it. He said, don't talk to me that way. I said, you're wrong. I said, I'm trying to respect you, Charlie, but I said, you're wrong. He said, what do you mean? I said, I'm not on the clock. You're not paying me for this. I said, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make you successful. I said, I don't want you to have a lawsuit. You want me in here at 10 to 9. And I said, you want me to mop the floor and do all that stuff that I've been doing. You want me to do it all in 10 minutes. People are going to be coming through here. We've got to put up signs, wet floor, caution. I said, we're going to have a lawsuit on our hands if somebody falls on a wet floor. So I come in here and I do the sweeping and the mopping 2 hours before we open. And he said, why do you do that? And I said, well, my dad always told me this. He said, son, always do what your employer says to do, and always give your employer more than he pays you for. And Charlie said, your dad taught you that? And I said, yeah. So I said, I'm not on the clock. I said, now if you want to reprimand me for being here, you can do that. But don't call me a thief and don't say I'm stealing from you. I said, I'm actually contributing to you. Next week, I had 50 cents an hour more in my paycheck. That was a big surprise because he wasn't for giving raises, you know. But try to make somebody else a success. Are you eager to make someone else a success, or are you doing as the world teaches, looking out for number one? And you, of course, are number one, right? So how do we practice active submission? Number one, make someone else a success. Number two, how do we practice active submission? Number two, we earn an audience. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 25. Proverbs 25, verses 6 and 7. Proverbs 25, 6 and 7. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better is it that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. You ever come across people that are always pushing themselves forward? It says, put not forth thyself in the presence of the king. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king. The picture here is of a person pushing himself into the forefront, accentuating his own position, projecting his own prominence to another. I remember years ago there was a commercial, you probably said, one of the old actors came on, and it was an investment company, and he said, we make money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. Remember that commercial? Reuben Ewart reminds us, he says, if you have not earned an audience, you will be considered arrogant and proud if you push your agenda upon someone else. Brother Ewart worked as a youth pastor for 15 plus years in one church, and then he believed that God had called him into traveling ministry, so he was going to be doing that, but he also wanted to help the pastor in the new church where he and his wife were moving. They were moving to another state. And so he didn't really have a lot of meetings at that particular time. So he asked the pastor if he could work with the young people. He said, "Now, I've worked with young people 15 plus years, had a successful ministry at it." He said, "I had a lot of ideas." And he said, "I went to the new pastor, and he said, I told the new pastor, 'Pastor, I want to make you a success. What can I do?'" And he said, "I was hoping he'd say, 'Take the youth program.'" I knew they were having problems with it. But he said, "The pastor didn't offer me the youth ministry." He said, "The pastor told me, 'Rube, I want you to change the tires on my car, change the oil, and take it down and get it washed.'" So he went out and put new tires on the car, got the oil changed, washed the car, brought it back, gave it to the pastor. And he said, "Is that all, pastor?" And he said, "For now." He said, then the pastor had me cutting his grass. And the pastor had me cleaning the hallways in the church. He said this went on for a long, long time. And he said occasionally he would have me preach when he was out of town or something like that. And he said after about a year of being there, he said, "I was discouraged." But he said the pastor called me in and he said, "Reuben, would you take over and run the youth ministry for me?" He did. He said, "I learned that I could not put myself forth before my pastor, that I had to earn an audience." So the second part of Proverbs 25, 6 and 7 says, "Better it is that it be said unto thee, 'Come up hither,' than for you to put yourself forward and somebody say, 'Hey, you don't belong there, go back.'" Reuben Ewart said, after that experience, he said, "Often when I was on the road in evangelistic meetings and conferences, my pastor would call and say, 'Reuben, I need your input on a decision I have to make.'" He said, "The reason he did that is that I had earned an audience." You see, the rebel pushes himself in before he's been asked to do so because he has no respect for authority. He's not practicing active submission. And over the years, you know this because I've told you many times, I started within our church. I knew that I could die at any time. The Lord could move me any time. A lot of things could happen. But over the years, I sought to mentor some young men to take over this church. And so I started first with young men in the church. And all they ended up doing was attacking me and treating me disrespectfully. So then I said, "Well, I'll go outside the church and bring in somebody." So I went outside and brought in somebody who had a good reputation. Brought him in here, and the whole time he was here, he was a disappointment. So then I came back to in the church, and when I started working with a young man in the church, I received the most vicious personal attack that I've ever received in the ministry. So it suddenly dawned on me that there aren't a lot of people out there that are willing to practice active submission. You can't be in the pulpit if you can't be under the pulpit. And in his message, Reuben Ewart points out something that I've told you often. He says, if you're not submissive to your authority, you should never be in a position of authority over others. So active submission requires that you earn an audience. Well, how do you earn an audience? Well, number one, you demonstrate personal character over time. You're honest. You're trustworthy. You do what you're told. You're reliable. You're on time. Demonstrate character over time. Secondly, you exhibit loyalty to your authority over time. You don't go around to others and disagree with your authority behind his back and badmouth him and criticize him and undermine him. And then at some point, when the authority has looked at you demonstrate character over time and has seen your loyalty over time, he's going to say this, "Come up hither. Come up here to the top spot. Let me turn it over to you." And over the years, it's been my joy, both in Christian ministry and also in the world's job market, to have earned the respect of those in authority over me. One of the most interesting experiences I had was last year when I worked at the Great Escape, and the girl that was my boss was one-third my age and was somebody that I had trained in EMS 5 years earlier. and she was my boss. So she said, "I feel really uncomfortable with this." I said, "Don't feel uncomfortable." I said, "When you come in, you're in charge. You know what needs to be done? I don't. You tell me what you want done, I'll do it." So she came in one morning and she said, "Guy, would you please empty the garbage and sweep and mop the floors for me?" I said, "I sure will." So I started out and did it. At the end of the day, she said, "You know, I really feel I said, "Don't feel uncomfortable." I said, "You're an authority." I said, "If I can't respect your authority, I'm saying I should have never been an authority. I should never have been in a position of authority." So it's been my joy to have the respect. I thank the Lord that I can go back and work for every pastor that I've ever worked for, and that I can go back and work for almost every boss that I worked for in the unsaved world. I had a policy when I've worked for other people to try to make that person a success and to try to earn my audience so that if I had an idea, it would be acceptable. You see, the antidote for rebellion is submission. You know what an antidote is, right? If you go to the doctor, I saw this the other night, a guy got bitten by a water moccasin down in Florida. Those are deadly. Water moccasins are deadly. Matter of fact, when he got bitten by the water moccasin, they got him to the hospital as quickly as possible, and they started him on the antidote. And they said if the antidote works, they'll probably be able to save the hand. Otherwise, the poison in the venom will actually cause the tissue to die. And once it dies, it will not be regenerated. So they may have to amputate the hand. But the antidote counteracts the problem. So the problem is rebellion, and the antidote is active submission. So we'll overcome rebellion by being actively submissive. So submission is the prerequisite then for obedience. In other words, you don't obey first, you submit first, and the obedience will come. So we're actively submissive when we make somebody else a success and when we earn an audience. It's very interesting. You put young people in a Christian college, and after usually the second year, you know, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. You've heard that. You know what sophomore means? It comes from two Greek words. What are they? Joan. Sophos, wise. Moros, fool. So a sophomore is a wise fool. Alexander Pope, in his essay on man, wrote this: "A little learning is a dangerous thing. Drink deep, or taste not the Pierian spring," which was the Greek mythological place that you went for wisdom. So a sophomore is a person that thinks he knows it all. He's a wise fool. And got a lot of sophomores running around that have not made anybody else a success. They have not earned an audience. So whenever we would go home from Tennessee Temple for the holidays or for the summer, Dr. Robertson would give his famous speech. You probably remember this. He'd say, "Now, young people, when you go back to your church, don't you go to your pastor and say, 'They don't do it that way at Highland Park Baptist Church.'" What was he doing? He was trying to remind us of these two principles. Principle number one is make somebody else a success. Go back and encourage your pastor. Work with your pastor. Help him in any way you can. And don't you tell him how to do his ministry until he asks you. Because we don't want him to think that he sent you to Highland Park Baptist Church so you could come back home and correct the way he runs his ministry. I had that happen here twice. Kids went away to Christian college, came back and wanted to tell me how to run the ministry. I had 35 years experience, they had zero, but they suddenly knew it all. Why? Because they went to a Christian college. I mean, they knew it all at that point. Well, if you go back and tell somebody, you know, "You're not doing it the way we're doing it somewhere else," that would be tearing down another, which doesn't make him a success, and it would be putting forth an idea without earning an audience. Well, there are a couple other principles that we'll go over, Lord willing, next time, but I hope these will help us a little bit. Prescriptions for living. And by the way, there isn't anybody alive that hasn't rebelled. Every once in a while I have to remind myself, you can't do that. You can't do that. You got to follow the rule. You got to do what it says here. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we're so grateful for your blessings in our lives. We thank you that your Bible is so practical. It gives us prescriptions for living. It gives us guidelines about how to avoid problems, how to make decisions, how to do the right thing, and how to pay the price for doing the right thing. We ask you tonight to help us to learn to be actively submissive. Touch our hearts in a very special way, I pray now, in Jesus' name. Amen.